أهلا وسهلا مرحبا.
مركز صحابة أونلاين راديو empowering the Ummah.
Welcome ya Mustafa.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you to this program. It is our interview segment. The date today is the 27th of Dhul Qadah, 1445. And there where Hazrat Mulana Musa Akudi is, it is the 28th of Dhul Qadah, 1445. Let's welcome our honorable guest who is there on the plains where the Hujjaj are. Let's welcome. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Mulana?
Alhamdulillah. How's Mulana keeping? That's the big question.
Alhamdulillah. Thumma alhamdulillah. I'm well with the fadl of Allah.
Gee. Mulana, where's Mulana at the moment, currently?
At the moment, we have moved over to Azizia.
Gee. And in terms of the South Africans that are there, since the last we spoke, is there a major influx of South Africans?
What I think is quite a few of the South Africans have already come in here because the packages facilitate for some options. And there are those who come in here on the 25th of Dhul Qadah, and some that come even before that. So it works out cheaper when they come to Azizia. And sure. Then this Friday, we're expecting quite a few people to be coming from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Azizia. And then there are others who stay in in Makkah Mukarramah. There's a very few of them, which is a more expensive package till the 4th of Dhul Hijjah, and then they come into Azizia. So eventually everybody will be here. But I estimate that perhaps more than half the crowd has already come into Azizia.
I heard Mufti Saab saying, was it yesterday or Monday? He said Mufti AK Saab speaking yesterday, and he said on air that Mufti Saab's nephew is there. I think he's reached or is going to reach. But he said to his nephew, when you reach, you just follow whatever Mulana Musa Akudi tells you, you do. That's all. So just when he said that, then I was wishing that how I wish I could just be, had been part of that, of this group, inshallah, to be, because Mufti AK Saab said, you just follow whatever Mulana Musa tells you, you do. So that's what we search for. We want someone who's experienced. We want someone who's going to tell us, even though we did the masail, but in terms of practice, it's a different ball game then.
Mulana, your sound is not coming very, very clearly, so I've missed quite a bit of your conversation.
Can Mulana hear me now?
I'm hearing very, very faint. I can hear it, but it's not coming very, very clear. But in the meantime, maybe I can, I don't know how's my sound coming over there, but you can just, we here in Azizia, we're starting off our programs.
Okay.
With the Hajis, alhamdulillah.
All right. We can hear you perfectly. So, Mulana, can just tell us what took place from last week to this week, where we went, all of this, inshallah.
Okay. What happened basically is from last week, when we came into Makkah al-Mukarramah, the priority was to take the hadith to go and perform the Umrah. And alhamdulillah, we left Medina Munawwara and we went to Dhul Hulayfa, which is also known as Bir Ali, and there is also known as Masjid al-Miqat. And there at Masjid al-Miqat, then alhamdulillah, all the hadith, they read the two rakats, Sunnatul Ihram. And then what happened is after that, we made our niyyah, and then we came on the journey. I outlined to the hadith that even at that place, which should be vibrant with a labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. Fortunately, you didn't hear لبيك, resounding from every side where it should be, and this is one of the signs of Qiyamah. So anyway, our group, they carried on reciting the labbaik in abundance, and then we got back to the bus, and then we traveled the journey, and what just comes to mind, reminding the Hajis, as we were traveling this journey here, are the rocky outcrops of mountains, no mercy, you know, in the desert, no shade at all, just a little bit of shrubs here and there, and just rocky mountains that you see as you drive toward the left and the right. And you can imagine the tariq al-hijrah, how difficult it must have been for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he made hijrat from Medina Munawwara to Makkah Mukarramah. So must have been a very, very testing experience for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we were returning in the comfort of an air-conditioned bus coming from Medina Munawwara to Makkah Mukarramah. So when we came into Makkah Mukarramah, the first priority was to perform our Umrah, and we waited till the evening, till about 10 o'clock, and then the Hujjaj gathered, and we went into the Masjid al-Haram, and upon sighting the Baytullah, we all exclaimed, "Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah." And then three times, and then we made dua also together. Now, first we made everybody individual dua. And after having given them time for an individual dua, there were tears flowing. Then, alhamdulillah, we made the dua. Allahumma hadha haramuka wa haramu nabiyika. Oh Allah, this is your haram, your sacred sanctity, your sanctified place, and the haram of your beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Faharrim lahmi wa dami. وعزمي وبشرتي على النار. And oh Allah, make haram, you know, my blood, my bones, my skin, you know, everything, make it haram on the fire of hell. وآمني من عذابي. And save me from your punishment, يوم تبعث عبادك, when you wake up your servants, you know, when you come to life again. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance in the year after as well. And then thereafter, we make dua. Tell everybody, we say, "Allahumma zid baytaka hadha tashrifan wa takreeman wa ta'zeeman wa birra wa zid man sharrafahu wa hajj aw hajj wa hajjahu aw itamarahu tashrifan wa takreeman wa ta'zeeman wa mahaba." And oh Allah, increase this house of yours, you know, in rank, in greatness, and everything. And all those who come and visit it also, ya Allah, also grant them that honored status when they come and visit this Baytullah. So confer the blessings upon them as well. And then thereafter, we make a little bit of a collective dua. And Yadullahi ala al-Jama'ah, Allah's hand is on the Jama'ah. And then we take it on from there, we start making the tawaf of the Baytullah. After having completed the tawaf of the Baytullah, we gather at one particular place which is outlined to them. And at the entrance of Safa, then we go in, we go onto the Mount Safa, and then we do our, the practice of walking between Safa and Marwa. And the tawaf of the Baytullah, we highlight it by saying that if a person goes in a circular motion around the Baytullah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like you go in everything in the world is in an orbit. وَكُلٌّ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ. You know, everything in the falak, you know, it actually swings around and goes round and round. So you'll find that the nucleus and the atom, you know, in order to create energy, there is a circular motion. And then all the hujjat also go in a circular motion, glorifying the greatness of Allah, right at the Baytullah. And we walk in an anti-clockwise motion because our heart is on our left-hand side. And it is totally fixed and attached to the Baytullah all the time. And then glorify Allah. And we make the tawaf of the Baytullah, imagining as if the Baytullah is the arsh and the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. You know, comes in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you make ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as though you are seeing Allah, and if you cannot see Allah, then you just imagine this feeling that Allah is at least watching me. So you make this concept in your heart, you know, that hey, I've been granted this opportunity to come here, as if though I am making tawaf of the glorious arch and throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in line with the Baytullah up in the skies, there is another Kaaba Sharif which is known as Baytul Ma'mur. 70,000 angels make tawaf of Baytul Ma'mur. And once they complete the tawaf, they are not given a second chance. They, another 70,000 are created who make tawaf of Baytul Ma'mur. And so this procedure carries on and will carry on, you know, until Allah desires so. So you can imagine how many thousands and thousands of malaika are making tawaf of Baytul Ma'mur. So, alhamdulillah, we are the ones who are blessed with this opportunity of making tawaf as much as possible. And then the sa'i between Safa and Marwa is also very, very exciting. You know, fafirru ilallah, and run towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can imagine, you know, between the milayni akhdarain, Hajar Shireen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved it so much that he ordained for the men of this ummah to run in that particular point between the milayni akhdarain on Safa and Marwa. So alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, it's a very vibrant ibadat in which quite a bit of physical energy is utilized. And thereafter, we come and remove our hair after completing it to exit ourselves from ihram. So that was the first responsibility when we came into Makkatul Mukarramah. Thereafter, we put the next priority on the list is to take the Hajis for a ziyarat. And the ziyarat of these are the important places in and around Makkatul Mukarramah. Alhamdulillah, in our group also, we have an orientation walk around the Baytullah, you know, on the outside, and we show them Jabal Abu Qubais. Presently, the king's palace is on that particular mountain, where there was a masjid on top, which was known as Masjid Bilal. And it was from there Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed his finger to the moon, and the moon had split into half. The mu'jiza and the miracle of Shaqqul Qamar took place. And also, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also Hazrat Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa salatu wa salam, made the proclamation, وَأَذِّنْ بِالنَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ عَلَى كُلِّ ظَامِقٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ. You know, they will come on every lean animal. They will come from, you know, distant valleys. You know, they will come to Makkatul Mukarramah. You just make the call. Ibrahim alayhi salam said, who will listen to me? Allah Ta'ala says, you make the call and I will let it happen. And today, thousands of people from all countries in the world will merge onto Makkatul Mukarramah, you know, to come and perform the Hajj of Baytullah. And there are, right now, as we are sitting here, there are thousands in the world, hundreds of thousands of people who are desirous of coming, but who may not have had the correct approval from the government, etc. There was no allocation or anything like that. So these are all the realities that we see here. So alhamdulillah, now when we go out for the ziyarah, and in the ziyarat as well, we go to the first place of the ziyarah, and that is the Jabal Thawr. And Jabal Thawr is the mountain from where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was making hijrah after 13 grueling years in Makkatul Mukarramah, when you know, the Sahaba ikram with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was subjected to a great amount of persecution and torture, and they withstood this with all humility and trust and faith in Allah. And eventually, when the divine call came, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam embarked on this journey, and he left under the shadow of the swords of the enemy, and left Ali radiallahu ta'ala in charge of the amanats of the people. And as he walked out, he recited, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَخْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. And then he proceeded with his companion, رَفِيقَهُ فِي الْأَسْفَارِ, you know, تَعْنِيهِ فِي الْغَارِ, the companion in the cave, and his companion in his asfar, in his safar, his travels, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam they sought refuge. They went on a completely different route, in a different direction, and they stayed over for 3 days and three nights in the cave of Sor, in the Mount of Sor, which is a very, very high mount, quite a high mountain. And the spiders had spun their webs. You know, I tell the Haji, I say, just close your eyes, turn back the pages of your history textbook, and you will come to that particular place where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now is in the cave, and the spiders are spinning their web, and the pigeons lay their eggs. You know, so it means that it's like this cave hasn't been inhabited. And so Allah used these creatures also to safeguard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes out from that particular cave, and then he goes on to this momentous journey of Hijrah. And it is so profound, so important to all of us, that the Islamic calendar actually begins from this particular journey. And that is why previously you would find that Rasulullah was born 2 years before the year of the elephant. So they always related date and time or years to an important event. And ever since, our Islamic calendar now is depicted by AH, meaning after Hijri, you know. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam embarked on the journey, and then the after Hijri period will be 10 years in Medina Munawwara. You know, that at the age of 63, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. So it's quite interesting, alhamdulillah. And then thereafter, we could take a drive to Arafat. And on the way to Arafat too, we signify the importance, you know, of Arafat itself. That the word Arafat is derived from the word Arafa Ya'rifu. And the word Ma'rifat also contains the three key letters of Ayn, Ram, and Fa. That ma'rifat means recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person goes to Arafat, he acquires this recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is also mentioned that Nabi Adam alayhi salam came down in Jeddah when he was taken out from the heavenly abode and brought onto this earth. And then when they came to, Amma Hawa came to Jeddah. And the word Jeddah is also from the Arabic word Jaddatun, which means grandmother. And from that particular place, they met together at Jabal al-Rahmah, the mountain of mercy in Arafat. And today, thousands of people clad in white on the 9th of Arafat go down to Jabal al-Rahmah to go and perform the important rite and duty that has to be done, which is known as Wukufi Arafah on the 9th of Zilhijjah. So, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, you know, we embark on this particular journey there as well. And then, of profound importance is that there that one ayat was revealed. The Jews mentioned to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala that there is one ayah in the Noble Quran. Had that ayat been revealed on us, we would have made that the day of Eid. And that particular ayah that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala says that, you know what, that particular ayat you're speaking about, I know it very well, I know where it was revealed. And that particular day has become famously known as Yomun Arafah. You know, indeed, we have a gathering of people in our localities only. But the occasion of Hajj is a gathering of Muslims from all over the world. So, yeah, in the words of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, I remember the place very, very well, where this ayat was revealed. Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum, wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, wa radhiitu lakum al-Islam deena. This day I have made your iman, your deen complete for you. In other words, your religion has been perfected. And something that is perfected cannot be made more perfect. There is no additions, alterations, deletions to this deen. It is for the perfected deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati. And I fulfilled my favor upon you. Allah calls this deen as his favor. Undoubtedly, it is a great favor which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. Raditu lakum al-Islam ad-deena, and I have chosen for you Islam as your deen. What a great ni'mat of Allah that this ayah was revealed in the plains of Arafah. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed the multitude of Sahaba ikiram at Jabal al-Rahmah. And he mentioned some very, very profound things. He said that the rights and traditions of Jahiliyyah and ignorance are trampled under my feet, that the life and the property of every mu'min is sacred. And he also spoke about usury and interest being forbidden, you know. And henceforth, all interest, usury, transactions shall cease to exist. And we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Noble Quran, you know, that فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Indulgent in interest is, you know, like waging war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Usury was forbidden. And it is such an evil, that today all the economic slavery, you know, of countries in the world where individuals are born with a massive amount of debt incurred by their government to the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, etc., you'll find that all these evils stem out from the evil of interest, that you can take away all the money from a banker and with a stroke of a pen, he'll buy it all back. That's how evil it is. Given this reality of how subjugation and control of the countries in the world take place artificially through the means of interest. Then the Surah Park Lawson spoke about the rights regarding women. Feed them well and be kind to them. Okay? That's your right and hukuk upon them. You clothe them and treat them well, you're kind to them. And their right is that they must not befriend anyone else besides you, and they must not commit any adultery. Right? Then the Surah Park sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about Muslim brotherhood and equality. لا فضل عربي على عجمي. That an Arab has got no virtue over a non-Arab. If there is any differences, إلا بالتقوى, it will be on the basis of taqwa and piety. Then also, you know, the importance of paying your, you know, the slave or your employees, it will mean, you know, before the sweat dries. That was also mentioned by Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, listen in earnest. Worship Allah. Then all aspects of shirk we should take out from our lives and only worship Allah. Perform our five daily prayers. There was so much emphasis on the five daily prayers by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that there shouldn't be an ummati in the world who leaves out a single salah. When the call of salah is made, every mu'min should be hastening to the masjid. Wherever he is, he performs his salah. Such is the importance that on the occasion of Hajj, Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about the five daily prayers. Then Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about fasting, mosom, about zakat, its importance. In other words, the basic fundamentals of Islam and Hajj as well. And Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I leave behind me two things, the Noble Quran and my example. This is what Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. So he sticks steadily to the Quran and the Mubarak Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the whole steadfast onto it with our teeth, as so to say, inshallah, we shall never ever be astray. So these were the highlights of the ziyarat when we go out and we explain to the hadith. And from there, we come to Muzdalifah, Masjid al-Mash'ar al-Haram. فَإِذَا أَفَضْتُمْ مِنْ عَرَفَاتٍ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ عِنْدَ الْمَشْعَرِ الْحَرَامِ واذكروه كما هداكم وإن كنتم من قبله لمن الضالين ثم أفيضوا من حيث أفاض الناس واستغفروا الله إن الله غفور رحيم. So you depart from the place where the people have departed and then they come to Masjid al-Mash'ar al-Haram and they praise and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says واستغفروا الله. In spite of we making so much tawbah in the plains of Arafat, and in Arafat we just had to be there, you know, after Zawal on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah till the break of dawn on the 10th Dhul-Hijjah, and also it's wajib to remain in the plains of Arafah until sunset. So, you know, we made our du'as, everything. We cried to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no mu'min must leave Arafat thinking to himself that he hasn't been pardoned and forgiven. There's two occasions when the shaitan sees himself absolutely humiliated. One is the time when the battle of Badr had taken place and Allah granted the Muslims victory. And another one is the occasion of the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, the day Yawm Arafah, when the shaitan is seen on the plains of Arafat, taking the stone and the sand around him and flinging it upon himself and saying, I made a lifetime's effort on these servants of Allah, and Allah has forgiven them. They are pure and they are clean. So nobody was wake up from Arafat thinking to himself that he hasn't been pardoned. So alhamdulillah, these are the main highlights. And then now the other year, then we even show them this Mina, you know, from a distance, what Mina looks like, where the Jamarat are. And inshallah, in the ensuing week, when the other Hajis are here, we will do a practice walk to the Jamarat so that they have a sense of direction from the hotel and exactly where our camps are. So we're all looking very eagerly to those beautiful days, you know, that are just knocking it on our doorstep. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the qabiliyat, you know, the capability of doing absolute good. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant from his side also qabiliyat in acceptance. I speak for myself, I'm absolutely weak. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on the entire ummah of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Jazakumullah khairan, Hazrat Mawlana Musa. The difference is we here in South Africa, and you are speaking right there from the holy lands. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it, the Mubarak lands, and all your efforts, and the Hujjaj, inshallah. Please do not forget us in your du'as too. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
It was Mawlana Musa Akudi, Damat Barakatuhu, sharing with us moments and lessons right from the Mubarak lands.